The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Celtic Winds is proud to present this St. Patrick's Day, Enya. Singing the classic songs of Ireland, don't you know? Hear her transform songs like Danny Boy.
Danny Boy.
And It's a Long Way to Tipperary.
It's a long way.
As well as old favourites like Old Mare's Arse. Forgive me, Father, I had a wee bit too much to drink the other night. Fiddlesticks! Away with you! Where's your sack of potatoes?
Where's your sack of potatoes?
And old foggy bum! Get your tickets today, or ye be damned! Hillary Clinton email number 348.
Hey, Kofi, your cold lentil salad was a hit with the gals at book club, BTW. We're reading 50 Shades of Grey. Highly recommend.
The Final Edition's Terry Mason has a special report on a new group joining with Islamic rebels.
By all accounts, Mitch led a comfortable life in Louisville, Kentucky, with a job that had him traveling frequently to the East Coast. So his friends, his family, everyone had to wonder why he would walk away from all that.
Mitch was kind of a good old boy, you know, just hanging around, always talking about accomplishing something big, but you know, nothing ever really got done.
But that was before Mitch became part of a terrifying phenomenon. Republican senators running away from home to join ISIS. Ron Sperling, a sociology professor at the University of Rochester.
GOP legislators are often aimless. They don't have a clear plan for the future. They can't pick a direction. Then a group comes along and says, "Hey, we hate Obama, too. We hate gays, too. We think women are lesser cuts of meat." There's something to believe in there.
You can hear that sense of mission in a recording Mitch sent to his family in Kentucky after he had linked up with ISIS.
"Our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to stop President Obama. This president could be some razzits, some rolls, and some grease-a-mazin. Every day. Long as I'm away."
Other Republican senators who joined ISIS also seemed to need a cause. More than 500 miles away from McConnell's home in Louisville, Tom Cotton was spinning out his days in Dardanelle, Arkansas. After mustering out of the military, he hopped between jobs as lawyer and congressman before wandering into the Senate.
"He'd just hang around with his defense contractor pals, negotiate with foreign governments without authorization, eat other people's yogurts, petty crap like that. Then he tells everyone he's going to Yemen to buy a car. Suddenly he's in Syria. He said he was happy in the war. Said he wanted to go back."
How did we lose these young souls? We interviewed several senators who would not go on record, but they all agreed. It's Obama's fault. Or society's fault. It's anyone's fault but their own.
"To save America, we must destroy America. God bless America. Death to America."
Terry Mason, reporting for the Final Edition.
Do you miss the classic songs you used to sing at your fraternity? Well, now, for the first time ever, all the biggest and best fraternity chants are assembled together. Time Life Music and Star Vista Entertainment bring you the best of frat chants.
"Just push her in a corner and hold her tight like this. Just put your arms around her waist and on her lips a kiss. And if she starts to murmur or if she starts to cry, just tell her it's the sacred seal of Phi Kappa Psi.
At last, you can catch up with all your favorite fraternities like Kappa Sigma, ZBT, and Sigma Nu.
Here's the Southern whores of prostitution, civil wars and revolution, Sigma Nu's who like to fight, and Southern girls who fuck all night. We're the sons of Kappa Sigma, marauders of the night, lousy sons of bitches who rather fuck than fight.
There's a special vibe and mood that comes with the best of frat chants. These songs will remind you of your glory days at the house. Like the time you took your sweetheart to the semi-formal.
Fuck last night, fuck the night before. Gonna fuck tonight like I never fucked before.
Or when you mentored a new pledge.
Squeal, motherfucker, squeal.
No more trying to remember all your favorite chants. We did all that for you. Imagine 150 of your very best frat chants. That's over 9 hours of the greatest music ever made. Relive the time you met that special someone at a party.
T'was there I met Lupe, the girl I adore, my hot fucking cock-sucking Mexican whore.
Or reminisce about a friendly rivalry with another frat.
Fuck that fraternity, Sigma Chi, fighting by assholes who contracted AIDS and died.
This music just makes you feel good. It's a must-have collection for any fan of fraternities, whether you were a Delta Kappa Epsilon.
No means yes. Yes means anal.
Phi Kappa Psi.
Who can take a dildo, boil it till it's hot, cover it with oil and ram it up your twat? We can.
Or even an SAE.
There will never be an SAE. There will never be an SAE.
Get the greatest collection of frat chants ever assembled. Call now at 1-800-FRAT-DOG, and you can own the best frat chants for just 4 easy payments of $29.99 each. Remember, this collection is not sold in stores, so call now. This is the music that made your fraternity days magic. Relive the good old days with the best of frat chants.
The preceding frat chants were all 100% real. Any resemblance to actual frat songs is completely intentional. We're not kidding.
47 Republican senators wrote a letter undermining the president's negotiations with Iran. The final edition asked the man on the street, what do you think?
So, the Senate passed something.
I don't know why those senators were chanting that racist thing on that bus.
Leave those 47 senators alone. Leave them alone.
Well, normally, I think that sort of thing would be out of line, but you have to understand, the president is a nit.
I tell you, that letter has every Iranian on the edge of their ottoman.
I blame the Irish.
Well, if Iran is anything like me, I think they were just happy to receive a letter.
He originally wrote it as a postcard saying, having a wonderful time, wish you were white.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
The final edition takes you back to 2009, on the first day of Hillary Rodham Clinton's confirmation hearings as President Obama's Secretary of State.
Chappaqua Computers, we install now, you stall later.
Yes, I'm calling about a server.
Is that you, Mrs. Clinton?
No, it's not me.
Well, it sure sounds like you.
It's a pseudonym. Eric Hotem.
Eric Scrotum?
Eric Hotem.
Eric Blotum?
Hotem. What part of Hotem don't you understand?
Relax, Mrs. Knows When to Fold 'em, Knows When to Hoed 'em.
That's better. Can I place an order?
Sure. Do you want 500 more hidden spy cams for your husband?
What? No. I mean, of course I do. But right now I need a home server.
Sure. No problem. What size?
One small enough for the immediate members of my family, yet big enough for all the U.S. ambassadors, all the world leaders, and a worldwide staff of several hundred million.
Oh, you want our special suburban home State Department model.
Can I really run the entire State Department out of my home?
Well, not while the dishwasher is on, or if the heat goes above 70, or you're recording more than one TV show on Fios.
I should be okay. I'm only going to use it to send 55,000 emails.
Will there be anything in any of those 55,000 emails?
Does a frontrunner ever have to declare her candidacy?
Oh, I can have you serving in your sensitive government position without having to actually tell anyone in your government what you're doing in no time.
Perfect. Bill never told me anything.
If anyone asks, all you have to say is, I did not have social intercourse with that world leader. Not one time.
Great. Now hurry. Official State Department nothing emails don't email themselves.
To Hillary Hodam Clinton. Ray, nothing.
What are you doing?
Composing the email for your receipt. I mean, nothing.
Wow, you're good.
Almost as good as me. You think America is ready for a male pseudonym in the White House?
Hey, 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 Mr. Bowman.
Kelafabuk? That doesn't really sound like Facebook.
Did you try Disfigured Your Facebook, or Artifactive Facebook, or Islamic Racebook?
Enough arguing! I bought the URL of GoDaddy already, so decision made. The new ISIS alternate to Facebook is called Kalafabuk. It's time to show the world that not all of us live in caves.
That's right. Some of us live in tents propped up against caves.
Totally! And Kalafabuk is already really popular. Nihat's been posting Instagrams of his food.
Oh, that's a nice-looking bowl of plain rice. And another nice-looking bowl of plain rice.
And here's Jamal with a picture of his newborn son and his newborn illegitimate son.
So cute.
We're going to drown him in the well, though, right? To wash away the shame?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, look! Kuram put up a post from last night.
It's a selfie of him with his girlfriend right before we all stoned her for being in a selfie and being his girlfriend.
Oh, good times.
Exactly. We don't need alcohol or music or dancing or women or historic art to have fun.
Oh, Kelafabuk is great. It's going to be much easier to chat about the latest beheading on TV last night and plan our meetup so we know exactly who's coming and where we're all going to be and what time.
So we know exactly who's coming and where we're all going to be and what time?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I hear it now.
CIA! Everybody on the ground!
Oh, fair enough.
Hillary Clinton email number 1562.
What's up, Mitchy Mitch? This is Hilarity69 here. Couldn't help but notice your Candy Crush score on Yahoo Games, 257. Not bad. But I just hit level 400, so suck it.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back. And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Do you have a hard time doing simple everyday activities without a device attached to you? Well, we have the app for you, man. It's the Thinking app, the new smart app for stupid people.
Wait, which is my left hand and which is my right?
The hand you were holding your phone in is your right hand. Whew.
That was a close call. Thank you, Thinking app. You just saved this reactor from a total meltdown. And me too.
Am I hungry?
Yes, you are.
Oh, dear Thinking App. God, what should I do?
You should eat some food.
What is food?
The Thinking App, the new smart app for stupid people. I have to keep repeating that sentence because the people who need this app are stupid.
Uh-oh. I'm in my car and I forgot how to drive. And I'm blind.
I'm sorry. I can't help you with that. You're about to drive into that building.
Not again.
The Thinking App. Download it right now. And if you can't figure out how to do that, then kill yourself.
Game over.
Hillary Clinton email number 17,921.
Bill, for the umpteenth time, don't hit reply all when you send out a dick pic.
Congratulations on your new job. Your company's payroll and communications are now handled by us, Evans Human Resource Management. So to get paid or receive important emails, here's how to log on to our web portal. Go to the web address we sent to a temporary address your supervisor handed you on a strip of paper during orientation. To gain access to the temporary address that tells you the actual web address, enter the password you find on another temporary web address, which you enter by clicking a link listed below.
That link is currently down.
Once in the temporary web address, find a letter number combination password next to three other letter number combinations that look like they also might be passwords, but are not. When you get the temporary password from this second temporary website, use it in the first temporary website.
Your username is in the middle of an email we sent 3 months ago before you were hired.
Great. Now you have access to the temporary website that gives you the main website where you can log in.
Before you get that permanent web address, give the temporary website your complete job history, including phone numbers.
You now have the permanent web address and will just need a permanent username and password.
Get those from another temporary website and enter your complete job history again, including phone numbers.
This gets you the real password. You need to enter that password to enter the permanent website.
You must also re-enter that password every time you type a letter as you enter your entire job history again, including phone numbers.
And there you are. If you have any questions, ask them in the main website, which will direct you to a temporary website.
From the creators of Malibu Barbie and Barbie Dreamhouse comes an all-new Racist Barbie.
Yay!
Just like regular Barbie, Racist Barbie is white, blonde, and has a perfect figure.
Does she have a boyfriend?
Of course she has a boyfriend. Racist Ken belongs to the SAE fraternity at the University of Oklahoma, and he's studying to become a police officer for Ferguson's PD.
Aww!
And he sings! Just pull the string on his back and you'll hear...
Can hang them from a tree, but they'll never sign with me. There will never be a at SAE.
Cool.
And while Racist Ken is busy shooting black kids...
Get on the ground,
But I didn't do anything.
Racist Barbie hangs out with her best friend, Nazi Barbie.
I love your swastika, Nazi Barbie. And I love your intolerance, Racist Barbie.
Racist Barbie, now available in all southern states. Black kids sold separately.
Fellow obese children of America, the time for moderate, non-sweat-raising action is now! Our freedoms have been eroded. Our very way of life is under threat. Burger King no longer includes soda in its kids' meal!
No!
No way!
No longer can we get our daily caloric allowance in cola plus a burger, fries, and a toy for $3.59 whenever we want a quick snack!
Sounds like communism to me.
My mom said my dad was a communist, or maybe it was a bigamist. I don't really remember.
Soda is our birthright. Soda defines being a kid. Burping? You need soda for that. Snorting soda up your nose? You need soda for that. Spitting soda at a girl to show them that you like them? You need soda for that.
You need soda for everything.
When we ran out of soda, my mom said she'd just have to drink vodka neat. She said it was bracing.
Ah, sweet soda, you are America. Your bubbles represent our optimism. Your massive size, our impact. Your artificial taste proclaims, I will not be dictated to by the flavors nature provides. I define me.
I define me.
My mom said she wouldn't be defined by another damn no-good man, and then she stabbed my dad in the shoulder with a steak knife.
So, fellow obese children of America, let us rise up! Not in a sporty way, and march! On Burger King! And when I say march, I mean get Ryan's mom to drive us! And we will tell that saturated and controlling monarch of meat to give us back our soda!
Hooray!
But first, can someone help me get my butt out of this swing?
Hillary Clinton email number 33,645.
Hi, Jill. I'm so excited you can use proper names in Scrabble now, too. In fact, I just found a great one. Benghazi. We'll definitely have to play a bunch of games when you and Joe come out to the Hamptons this weekend. Awesome sauce!
Ladies and gentlemen, we of the Middle East would like to give an open letter to the United States. Here we go. Dudes, what the hell is the matter with you? A letter from Congress to Iran demeaning your president's policy? You have to get your shit together, bros. We're not kidding. You're making Egypt look like Denmark. Seriously, what the hell? When Netanyahu returned from you guys, even he was like, dudes, do you heathens know what's going on in the U.S.? They might as well call the White House the Gaza Strip. Oy vey, you know what I'm saying, guys? For the first time in thousands of years, we agreed with Israel. We were like, I know, right? Then we went back to hating each other. And a letter? How passive-aggressive can you get? Towards your own guy. Why didn't you just send a greeting card if you're going to be so bitchy? Like, hey, thinking of you, we hate our president and are banking on Jeb Bush winning next year so we can go to war with you. Kisses, love, Congress. Get your shit together, United States. You're making us look sane. And next time, if you start thinking of writing a letter, throwing your president under the bus, FaceTime instead. That's what ISIS does. Get your shit together, US. Hugs and hookers, the Middle East.
Tired of waking up in the morning to find your Datsun B210 covered in crow shit? Well, now you can protect your investment with one of Joe's human skin car covers.
Hi, I'm Ed, CEO of Joe's Human Skin Car Covers. And when I say Joe, I of course mean me, because that's what I have to call myself when I don't want the cops to know I'm cutting up homeless guys down by the river again.
Yes, for thousands of years, people have been coming to the banks of the L.A. River, drawn by the promise of life, looking for purpose, or just in search of a safe place to sleep away from hungry animals.
And that's where Joe's Human Skin Car Covers come in. Only Joe's human skin car covers are harvested from the cadavers of free-range hobos found sleeping at passed away under the Los Feliz Bridge over the Los Angeles River.
Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin.
Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin.
Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin.
Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin.
This vintage Chevy was all I had left of my daddy's memory. Without a Joe's human skin car cover, this precious possession would surely be lost to the elements.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like daddy is with me again, looking after his car.
Yeah, huh?
I can almost feel his presence.
Okay, don't push it.
Please tell me. I need to know.
Look, that's not your dad, okay? You think I'd do something like that? Come on. Pull it together. He went out for cigarettes. He'll be back, I bet. Come on, relax. I didn't do anything illegal.
Joe's Human Skin Car Covers. Ask for it by name.
Take it from me. The world is a sewer. We're all just pieces of crap stuck in the hair trap of life.
Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin. Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin. Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin. Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin.
Everybody!
Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin.
Joe's human skin.
Joe's human skin car covers, made from real human skin.
Joe's human skin
car covers, made from real human skin. Joe's human skin car covers.
Hillary Clinton email number 42,180.
Man, I'm on the goddamn road more than Dane Cook. What do you mean I can't transfer all these State Department miles to my Delta Sky Miles account? This is bullshit.
Welcome to the Absurd Minute. I'm Juliana Forlano. Governor Rick Scott has officially banned the term climate change in Florida. Meanwhile, the FCC has banned every term we want to call this motherfucking douche. Russia says it has the right to deploy nuclear weapons in Crimea. Experts see this as retaliation for the U.S. deployment of John Kerry in the Ukraine.
It's wonderful to be here with
Apple used their new Spring Forward event to fully showcase their new product, the Apple Watch. It's basically a watch that counts down from the moment that you get it until the Apple Watch 2 comes out. Robin Thicke has to pay $7.3 million after losing a legal case over copyright infringement in his hit Blurred Lines. I gotta tell you, jury duty is bad enough, but jury duty with repeated listenings of Blurred Lines? Now that's just cruel. I don't want it. The music industry is worried about the effects of the ruling, especially the country music industry, where studies show it's quite possible that every single country music song ever written actually infringes on the copyright of every other country music song ever written. Two students from the University of Oklahoma have been expelled from school after their racist fraternity chant was exposed on the internet. These two are expected to maintain a low profile right up until they're elected to the Oklahoma State Senate. Meanwhile, a jury has to decide if the fraternity's racist chant infringed on the copyrights of every other fraternity's racist chants. This could have all been avoided if, like other frats, these guys had just stuck to, you know, abusing alcohol and women. And sometimes farm animals. Brian Williams is telling people how great it was for him to be back in Selma after 50 years, while Bill O'Reilly reminisced fondly about blocking the bridge. You've been listening to The Absurd Minute. I'm Juliana Forlano. Find our full show on the Progressive Voices Radio Network, Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at midnight Eastern, or find our podcast at julianaforlano.com.
Actress Florence Henderson is still having casual sex at age 81. The final edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
Flo ho.
She's the only woman I know whose cooch has a handicap access ramp.
I'd hit that.
I'd like to Brady her bunch.
Her vag is so dry, Pontiac set another land speed record on it.
The only reason to wear a condom when you fuck her is to prevent chafing.
Her vagina is so dry, they call it Florence of Arabia.
Quick impression of eating out Florence Henderson.
Hello, hello, hello.
Her vag is so dry, she calls it Dusty Springfield. Her vagina is so old, it clears its throat.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Final Edition Radio Hour's periodically awesome interview session with a comedy and satire newsmaker. Didn't we call this Talking with Tony at one point?
We did, but now we're not calling it Talking. Okay, this week, we're not calling it Talking with Tony.
Instead, we're going to be talking with a very funny, very smart, very wonderful man. Ahmed Ahmed is a well-known comedian to anybody that knows comedy. One thing I didn't know until I was looking at your bio today is that Ahmed Ahmed won the Edinburgh Festival's Richard Pryor Award, which is very cool. I think that we all have great reverence for Richard Pryor's comedy, and we all now have great reverence for Ahmed Ahmed's comedy. He is the star of the Final Edition's new web series, The Secret Diaries of a Terrorist, and he joins us today from Los Angeles. Ahmed, you're on the line with me, Jeff, and Tony Hendra. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, Jeff? What's up, Tony? Thanks for having me on your show.
Delighted.
And thanks for all the nice, kind words, man. I'm flattered. I didn't know what, no one's ever said things like that to me that nicely.
Yeah, well, as a comedian, I understand the value of occasional positive reinforcement because it's very rare.
So much negative. Every once in a while, it's like, oh, this guy's really cool. It's like, okay, thanks.
Don't worry, I'll call you a jerk when we're off the air. So I want to jump right into talking about this series that we did, or this video shoot that we did. You know, you and I had a good long talk about whether or not you were going to be involved with it. And I'm wondering if you've gotten much feedback either before when you shared the script with people or since it's come out. And just a quick background for people listening. It's a web series called The Secret Diaries of a Terrorist. Ahmed plays Mustafa, the head of a sitcom family. It's very funny. But, of course, some might find some issues involved regarding the treatment of terrorism and certain topics such as Muslim identity and even their jokes about Jews, and particularly in light of the reaction that Saturday Night Live just got about a fairly tame sketch involving ISIS. And Ahmed is a Muslim American, and I am just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what your experience was putting together that video.
Well, I remember my agent had said, you know, there's this project that they're doing in New York, and it's a pilot for a web series, and they kind of explained it to me, and I said, well, you know, send me the script, and let me read it. And so I did, and I laughed out loud. There were a couple lines in there that I shouldn't have been offended by, but I just felt like it's a little offensive. And so I worry a little bit, like, oh, this might be too much. It might be crossing the line a little bit too much. And I think when you're coming out of the gate with projects like this, you have to trust the writing and the people behind it, that it's their voice. And it's, you know, it's ultimately and originally, you know, their voice and their words. So, you know, actors are people who bring those words alive. And I remember we had a discussion about one particular line, which I just didn't feel comfortable saying. And when I read the script overall to not only just regular, just, you know, Anglo-Americans, I would, you know, I remember reading the script out loud to my friend's mother, who's a traditional, you know, older Egyptian woman. And she was laughing out loud, like everything. So I thought, all right, well, if she gets it, then, you know, I'll trust her sort of barometer and you know.
Right.
So, but then when we did it, and you know, we kind of put it out there a little bit on social media and stuff. Nobody commented so far, because I don't think it's out there that rapidly. Yeah, I think it's still sort of leaking out there still. But almost everybody said they thought it was funny and they hit it right on the money, and you know, things like this should be, you know, I guess heightened and taken in a sort of comedic manner. A couple of my friends who are sort of industry insiders, like filmmakers and just people that are sort of in the entertainment industry, I showed to, and they said almost everybody said they loved it. They thought it was hilarious, except there's a couple of things that would be offensive. And these were Jews, by the way.
Well, they should speak before Congress, and then they can settle it that way.
Right. I know, right? I was like, well, you know, your people wrote it, so go put the finger at them.
Yeah, and I think one of the factors here is that it is conceived as a sitcom, and you just do a charming job of playing this terrorist. I mean, it's that takes a lot of the.
I don't know if that was a compliment or an insult.
No, you're a charming terrorist, which is great.
No, I'm kidding. What's funny is when I read the script, I thought the only way to make this funny is just to play it as real as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And with the exception of a couple, you know, sort of little sticky moments in the end, I try to just, you know, just have fun with it, but be like, you know, I was a real, like, you know, real situations with my family and my wife. And so, yeah. But everything sort of painted around that was this backdrop of terrorism. And I think that's the brilliance of it. It's just kind of lifted the face mask of terror off the terror.
Right.
And, you know, let's face it, not to glorify or say anything positive about terrorism, but they have lives.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, as we talk about
that. These guys have wives and families and kids, and they get, like, health benefits, and who knows?
Right, exactly.
They have 401ks.
Sort of.
Right.
Well, you know, obviously we thank you for taking it on, and I know that for yourself, as well as I'm sure for any sort of Muslim-American actor, there is, you know, we talked about this, some sort of post 9/11, all the roles were for terrorists, and that is not necessarily what you want to do creatively. I know that, I think I saw that at your role on Sullivan and Son is one of the few Muslim American roles that is not stereotypical, and I think that's great, and I applaud efforts like that.
Well, the beauty of Sullivan and Son was it was not only one of the few, it was the only. Because I sort of dug around and tried to figure out if there was ever an actor or an actress on a, you know, live multi-cam sitcom,
right,
that was Arab, you know, 100% Arab Muslim playing an Arab Muslim, and there wasn't. So for me, it was kind of like a groundbreaking milestone after being in this business and getting my ass kicked for 25 plus years, finally getting a platform to just play a regular guy who hangs out in a bar and he drives a tow truck and he's in his 40s and he's trying to date.
Right.
So it was a stretch.
Like those guys, those guys exist. Like, I'm that guy.
Right.
They wrote the character loosely based on me, you know, technically. So.
Well,
so,
good.
You know, that was a big sort of springboard for me, and I think it was a big springboard for you know, people in Hollywood who were paying attention to the show. That and you know, and with the help of all these other sort of Middle Eastern comedians that are coming out of the woodworks, and there's, you know, let's face it, Arabs will always be in the news. We're not going anywhere. And I don't say that with pride. I say that with disdain. But in this, you know, time of disdain and sort of negative reflection on it, comedians and people like myself, I'll speak for most comedians, that's why we do comedy. That's our sort of escapism and trying to find some sort of justice in it all.
Our hope with this series and this show is to sort of, by going way over the top, sort of undercutting the stereotypes that do apply to Muslims, because if everybody thinks that every Muslim is a terrorist and this would be their home life, and it's so patently absurd that it undermines the whole ability for people to stereotype, and you know, our goal is to ridicule terrorists, all of them, as misogynistic a-holes.
Yeah, in a funny way, this sort of turns the stereotype on its head, because it is so absurd and so impossible. But at the same time, as you said, Ahmed, that they have lives, they have 401ks and all the rest of it.
Right.
So it's I mean, I think this is actually a step forward. Not a step backward in a stereotype.
I sure hope so, and I think that, you know, whoever watches this clip, you know, sees the humor in it and can go, okay, like, I mean, I hate to say this, but it would be really funny if, you know, somebody in some sort of terrorist organization saw this and was like, you know what? That's pretty damn good, man.
That would be great. We need a sponsor. And you know what? They got money.
Hey, ISIS has plenty of money, right?
Exactly.
They're like, you know what? They were so spot on with everything. But you know what? They messed up the address. It's not 227. It's 228.
Exactly. I blew up a guy that has a cardiologist friend in L.A. Maybe I can get the walk on.
Yeah.
Listen, Ahmed, I'm sure you don't want to, and I don't want to just talk about, you know, your role as a Muslim American actor and comedian. I actually want to ask you about this event you did, I think, this past weekend with our good friend John Fugelsang, who's contributed a bunch to Final Edition. It was a Bill of Rights comedy show. I think it was in D.C. Can you tell us a little bit something about that? It's something that I am passionate about, coming from with a law background, and it just looked like a great, great project.
Yeah, sure. My name got thrown in the hat to be a part of an extraordinary lineup of just legendary comedians. And it was at the Warner Theater in D.C. It was called Lewis Black and Friends, My Bill of Rights, Let Freedom Laugh. And he didn't host it. He kind of went up for Sarah Silverman. They had like a recorded voiceover that she did with the lights down. And then she introduced Lewis Black. He came out for like probably 10 minutes. And then he just kind of introduced himself and told everybody what was going on tonight. And then he came off stage, and then there was an announcer that introduced each comic. They filmed it for, taped it for Access TV, Mark Cuban's TV network.
They did have that live at Gotham show and a bunch of other comedy stuff.
Yeah. So they sold this show to Access. So they had a whole crew and cameras and cranes and pregame meet and greet and interview. It was 2,000 people, and it was sold out, standing next to Dick Gregory and Tommy Smothers and Lewis Black and John Fugelsang and Cristela Alonso was there, just got this TV show on ABC, and Chris Bliss, and who was a sort of ex-comic juggler performer, but now is a producer and put this whole thing together. I thought it'd be a great idea with what's going on in the world and people having their amendments, you know, First Amendment and Bill of Rights.
Wasn't there some element of it that
violated?
Yeah, wasn't there some element of it that was about he wanted to put the Bill of Rights, like, in every state house or something, just like some places want to put the Ten Commandments? Was there some angle of that, or am I getting things confused?
I don't remember any comedian referencing that, but who knows? I was backstage. I was paying attention like half of the show, but But it was a really, really cool event. Like I never would have guessed in a million years that I would, you know, be considered a guy that would get considered for a show like that. So it was fun, and it was inspiring, and I learned a lot just hanging out with all those old, you know, legendary living legends, you know?
Yeah, that's why I work with Tony. He's a living legend. He's not old, though. He's very young.
I will say this. All of those guys know how to party.
That's why they want – there's probably one particular Bill of Rights that they want to make sure they – the search and seizure they want to make sure they can't get. Listen, we gotta wrap up. We gotta do our show. Is there anything in particular you wanna mention? I know you've done this Just Like Us tour, and I think I saw you're trying to do another. But any projects that you like our smart comedy fans to know about?
Well, currently, if you go to my website ahmedahmed.com, I have some dates coming up around the country. I'll be in Richmond, Virginia, coming up, and Kansas City, and have some college dates happening in Long Island and Denver, but I'm just going back to the drawing board. Our show Sullivan and Son got canceled, so I'm back at the drawing board trying to come up with something new and preparing for, you know, the next sort of pilot season that's around, and just kind of on tour really and writing. So ahmedahmed.com if you want to check out any dates that are coming up.
It sounds great, and hopefully we will call you to negotiate your deal as a lead of The Secret Diaries of a Terrorist.
Absolutely.
Episodes. I can't wait. I can't wait for that, Paul.
All right.
As soon as we get that money from the Saudis.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, everyone. We've been talking with Ahmed here on the Final Edition Radio Hour. Thank you for your time talking to us and, of course, together the show. And best of luck with everything.
Thanks, Ahmed. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Take care.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
Thank you.
Tony, we got to come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the Final Edition does. Even when we tell them, it's all this like blah, 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 dot, 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 www, URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a 38 Magnum to its head and the legend, buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog.
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Freckles? Oh, there, there. Good boy.
Yay!
What's the matter then?
Also, meet my 38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Give him a goods, Jeff.
Oh, my God, poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling the SPCA.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay, listeners, please, write this down. Thefinaledition.com. Thefinaledition.com. Go there for everything you want from the Final Edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get you crazy bug!
Good job, Freckles! Get him! Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreiser for the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down! You don't have opposable thumbs! No!
Hillary Clinton email number 51,002.
Chelsea, dear, I got the latest bill from your wedding planner, and I'm not too cray-cray about these numbers I'm looking at. I mean, is all the money just going to the wedding, or are you guys planning on buying Cuba as well?
Good evening, and welcome to I Don't Watch the News That Much. I'm Roy Dankwood. Joining me tonight in my roundup of this week's headlines is Craig Stoopman, a guy who lives in my building. Thank you for joining me, Craig.
Thank you for giving me a ride over here. Did your hot water ever come back on?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Next time you have a problem like that, text the building manager directly. Don't call the emergency number. It's a waste of time.
Thank you. Well, it's looking more and more like the Republicans are going to let the Department of Homeland Security shut down at the end of this month and blame it on the Democrats.
Yeah. See, that's why I don't vote.
You mean because the Republicans are cynically twisting the truth to prop up their partisan anti-Obama agenda?
No, I didn't vote way before that.
You don't vote because so many politicians are corrupt?
Yeah. Also, I don't feel like it.
Fair enough. So, if you've been following this story, or even if you haven't been, the Republicans in Congress have been using the threat of a shutdown to try to repeal President Obama's executive order on immigration.
Okay.
I guess the question is, will the Department of Homeland Security be shut down?
Are you asking me that?
Well, in a way, but it was more of a rhetorical question.
So that's like, I don't have to answer that question, right?
No, not if you don't feel like it.
Right. For a minute, I thought you wanted me to predict the future.
No, I wasn't. But obviously, if the Department of Homeland Security shuts down, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Department of Homeland Security handles all of the security for the...
The homeland.
Yeah, and it's all in one big...
Department.
That's it, man. You got it.
And they're about to run out of money.
I know that feeling.
So some people think the Republicans are playing politics with our safety.
It's more than just safety. I mean, you shut down the Department of Homeland Security, you know what happens next?
No, what?
The people who have jobs there get up in the morning, they drive to work, they sit in traffic for God knows how long, they finally get to the office, and all the doors are locked.
Well, that would be frustrating.
It's worse than frustrating, Roy. They've lost 3 hours of sleep.
I guess so. Also, as the threat of terrorism grows, we need to keep the DHS open.
Absolutely. We definitely need to keep the DHS open, especially if we close the Department of Homeland Security.
Uh-huh.
But I don't vote.
And yet, isn't the Republicans' extreme position going to hurt them with the voters? Most Americans support Obama on immigration reform.
Well, some Americans are for Obama and some are against him. You'll never get everybody to agree about anything.
That's true.
Except maybe that on that SNL 40th anniversary show, Eddie Murphy definitely should have done some jokes.
You're right. Everybody does agree on that. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Craig and I are going to discuss the Ukrainian conflict in the wake of another failed ceasefire.
If he wasn't going to be funny, why did he even show up?
I know. The Final Edition Radio Hour is at IHOP today to investigate a little-known gastronomic miracle, maple syrup. To help me today are two young ladies who love maple syrup, June and Jane.
Hi.
June and Jane are dressed in furry woolen items against the freezing weather, which, ironically, makes them look very hot.
Sexist.
Pug.
June. Jane. We all love a stack of pancakes from IHOP slathered with maple syrup. But where does maple syrup come from?
China, McDonald's, bottles?
Nope.
Bees, corn, maple syrup wells?
Nice try, but nope again. Maple syrup comes from maple trees. Maple syrup is the blood of trees.
Ew!
Maple blood is called sap. Every spring, men go out in the woods and drill holes in maple trees.
Sick. That tree is screaming right now.
Then they hammer a wooden tap into each hole to catch the sap.
They say that's what it's for. Perverts.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing?
I'm tapping sap. I'm a sap tapper.
Liar. You fuck trees.
I've been tapping sap for 52 years. Sap tapping is crap. All it does is drip. And you don't get no respect.
No means no, you prick. I bet it's underage.
Givens! They don't want to be sap tappers. I'm dying out.
Good. Who needs you? Die soon.
Yes, young people are turning their backs on the ancient craft of tapping sap. For generations, the children of sap tappers tapped sap. Now, they're heading for the cities, looking for careers as hedge fund managers, high-end restaurateurs, and gigolos. And that's a problem. Thanks to global warming, maples are producing more sap than ever before. But if that sap isn't tapped, this happens.
Oh my god, that skeevy old pervert got the tree pregnant. Look at that baby bump. It's getting, like, huge.
End of emergency. Sap tappers can't be found. Another maple bites the dust. Amazing. The tree is vaporized. Only a shattered stump remains.
Oh my god, I'm covered with gunk. Icky, sticky, maple syrup-colored gunk. Ew. Ew!
From New England to British Columbia, forests are beginning to sound like a war zone as untapped, sap-packed maple trees go to meet their maker. The air is packed with sap. Our chopper is slathered with maple syrup. We're going down!
I'm poor now. Trees suck.
Hillary Clinton email number 1,142,796.
Regarding your latest email, here's what you tell Boehner. If you stay on this Benghazi jag, then Hillary is going whitewater on your ass. Happy hour later.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Leslie Shapira, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.